I didn't come with a Mother's Day message today, but I am going to minister to you on what I feel that the Lord would have me to minister today. Because so many times, whether it's Mother's Day or whether it's Father's Day, we minister, you know, one or the other, and there's nothing wrong with that. I love doing Mother's Day messages, but I feel like today this is a message that is neither male or female. It is just for whosoever. And so it's such a great honor always to get to minister the word of God. I'm grateful. I never take it for granted at all. And I am just so thankful to be able to do that today. As we said a while ago, we really, really are excited to be home. We had a wonderful time. Last Sunday, I was privileged to minister in a church called Langata. And that church is kind of the, I think, the mother church of Church on the Rock. And it was just really good for to get to do that. All of us were at different places. And our Krissa on Sunday afternoon at Brother Shem. By the way, Brother Shem loves all of you. He you know him personally now. And he knows you, and he just loves you, sends greetings to all of you. Had such a good time while he was in the States and while he was here at Solid Rock. He had nothing but good things to say about this church and about the spirit of excellence, the spirit of people loving on each other. He was very, very touched, and he wanted us to be sure and let you all know how much he appreciated you. God has just given us great favor in the Church on the Rock. There are different ministries. It come out of many, many years ago out of Larry Leach Church in Rockwall, Texas, many, many years ago. And Daryl and I met a young couple in 1990 when we went to Kenya, David and Jennifer Hatley. And he's gone on to be with the Lord a couple years ago, but she's still going strong. And there are many, many churches in East Africa that are part of Church on the Rock. And Brother Shem is the overseer, which you all got to meet. And get, if you were around here at all, I know that he blessed you. Even our Nixon loves Pastor Shem and says someday he's going to go to Kenya and see him, and I believe that he probably will. But anyway, he sends greetings, him and his church and children, and they were just really precious to us, and we're thankful for that. We're going to read out of Isaiah chapter 11. Sometimes in life, and we've all been here many, many times, and we probably will a few more times of life, where we're like, what now? What's next? And but this is such a good, beautiful verse, and we're just going to go from here. Isaiah 11:1, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. This is talking about Jesse here is David, King David's father. Will come from the stump of Jesse, from a roots, a branch will bear fruit. This is a prophecy that is very promising that Isaiah is delivering to the people that had been cut down. Life had been really hard, and they had been reduced to almost nothing. The Israelites had a rough time because they kept getting in disobedience. But God never forgot his children. Aren't you glad he doesn't forget us? Just because we aren't behaving rightly, we're not doing the things that we should do. But this is a prophecy that was given 700 years, 7 centuries before the coming of Christ. But it was a word that was promising. Isaiah was saying, God has not forgotten you. And they had seemed to be cut down to nothing. And there's times in our life when we feel like there is nothing that's working. Everything that we thought was right, is not good. We've all been in those places. We had the good times and we tend to feel like we're growing. We feel like we're going someplace. And then all of a sudden, there are those times when things are not going, and we live in that time where it seems that God isn't talking. There isn't anything that is happening, and maybe that's where you're at today. But I do know one thing, and I found out, and I've lived long enough to see that God, when it seems like I'm down to nothing, that God is up to something. He's getting ready to show me His glory again. He's going to show up in the situations, and I'm going to begin to see the goodness of God again. Even when we don't feel it, like the song said today, the Waymaker. Even when we don't feel it, even when we don't see it, and even when we don't discern it with the natural senses. You know, we like to know that we know. Well, sometimes we don't know that we know. All we know is what the promises of God say, what the Word of God says, and so that's what we hang on to. And so it doesn't matter whether you're at an amazing time of your life today or if you're at a barren time in your life today, the Word of God is still the same. His eye is upon us. He never takes His eye off of us. He doesn't leave us. He never forsakes us. And so it doesn't really matter. All I know is that He always has made a way of escape for His people. And I know that when I don't know what's next, He's up to something. He's got something good. And we know that the Israelites, that for years, they had put their hopes in other gods. But yet the promises of God over them, He didn't take back what He said. Aren't you glad that God doesn't take back what He says about you? Aren't you glad that the promises, the proclamations that He's made in the Word over you, or the prophecy that's gone over you, God doesn't take back His Word. Sometimes it takes a while for it to produce. 700 years, that's a long time for it to produce. But the Word was the same. At 600 years, and there was still 100 years to go, that word that had been prophesied 600 years before was still the word of the Lord. And God said, this is what I'm going to do. He prophesied through the prophet Isaiah. A shoot will come up. A shoot is going to come up from the stump of Jesse. From His roots, a branch will bear much fruit. We can see Jesus is in this text. We can see hope and we can see redemption in this text. We can see a future and we can see a baby that was born in Bethlehem. We can see the blessed future from the word spoken by prophet Isaiah. That was a future. And even today, we still will go back and we will preach some word out of the prophet Isaiah, because there are still prophetic words there that relate to us today. But seeing 7 centuries ahead into our present hope, isn't that something that He saw, the hope that we live in today? He saw the master that we're living for today. And 1 Peter 1:3 calls Him, Jesus, our living hope. The writer of Hebrews calls our faith in the living Christ our hope. Our faith in the living Christ, that is our hope. Our not seeing is what all the heroes of faith, that's what they clung to. Let's read that. Hebrews 11:1. Read now the Amplified. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, and the title deed of things we hope for. Heroes of faith, they didn't have Jesus Christ. He hadn't come yet. They weren't where we're at. They weren't where the disciples were at. But they had a living hope because they had prophecies. The prophet spoke and they knew that God would keep His word. The title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of the reality. In other words, faith perceiving as real fact when it's not revealed to the senses. Because we believe faith is the substance of things we hope for, the thing that we're living for, the thing that we're believing, the prophecy, the word of God that has come to each and every one of us before. We're looking, and we know that in that hope, it doesn't matter where we are in our journey if we don't lose the hope. The devil needs to know that we're still here. And that we're connected to the eternal. See, it doesn't matter what he brings against us. We still are connected to the one that gave us the promise of hope. Hope, just as God's great Hall of Famers were. Hope is the anchor of our soul that gets down to the bottom of our life. And it holds on to us. Because when we walk through hellish situations of our life, we know that because of the hope and the trust that we have in him, and he's a living hope. He has already been born. He is already resurrected from the dead. We just came through Easter, which was resurrection time. It was a reminder that, yes, we celebrate Christmas. That's when that we celebrate the birth of our Christ. But that wasn't the end of the story, that there was a Christ born. But there was a Christ that went to the cross for you and I. But he didn't just go to the cross. He rose on the third day, and he is sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. The by faith heroes were men and women who refused to give up. They had lived through difficult times. A lot of them, they had failed so miserably in their life. But they didn't quit. There was something about them. They believed by faith, even though they hadn't seen what we've seen today. They didn't have what we have today, but yet the Word of God calls them heroes of faith, because in the hard times, in the disappointing times, in the times where it didn't look like anything was going to change, they didn't give up their hope. Romans 8:24-25. For in this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. If you've already seen it, you don't have to hope, right? Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Now there's where we have a rough time. But the good thing is we can always go back and look that we are engrafted. Aren't you glad we're engrafted into Christ because of what he did for us? But the writer Paul is telling us that the proof is in our patience. And that's where we all get messed up a little bit. We don't happen to have any runners in the house that run races, or would happen to know how a runner is supposed to. Caleb, do you run? No. Yeah, me either. Do you run? Have you been in a race before? Do you have on pants? Huh? No. Okay, I won't make you do it then. But because it's the runners that are running in a race. I had a young man demonstrate this for me last week. But when you're running in a race, and they're really good because they run a lot in Kenya. But he got down, and he had to have been in a race before, just like you said. But he's at the line, and he got all the way down, and he was ready to lunge, ready to go. And that's what the race is. But it's just like you're a trained runner, and they're waiting for the bell to go off, or the bugle, or the whistle, or whatever it is that lets them know that they're going. And so they're already poised. They're right up to the line, and they're waiting. That's the way we do. God, I heard you. I heard what you said. I know what your promise is. I know what you told me. And we're up to the line, and we're waiting. We're waiting for that bell to go off, that buzzard, or that gun to shoot. We're waiting for that moment, and we're there. But it's wait and you can't move, you got to be ready. You got to stay ready, because if you move ahead of time, you're going to be disqualified. If you go in front of the whistle, you're going to get disqualified. But if you wait too late, then you're going to be behind. So they're poised and they're ready. They're waiting and they're ready. This is it. They're getting ready to do it. And they're there and they're waiting. Waiting. But they have to be on cue. It's the same thing with you and I. Sometimes we get impatient. And if we get impatient and we move before God tells us to move, we'll be out there on our own. But if we'll wait for the promise and we'll let him do what he needs to do inside of us, because he's at work all the time trying to change us. But they wait. We don't want to be disqualified. But if you don't move at all because of fear, you'll miss out on the opportunity of running in the race. So we can't let anything stop us in this race. We just have to be sensitive. Every race that we run, we are moving forward. That's how the heroes of faith kept running the race until they were finished with it. And I believe that God is talking about determined ones in the scripture here when they talk about the heroes of faith. So we don't cash in our hope. We're not going to lose our hope for the promise of what God has told us, because it carries the reward for all of us. Even when there's winds of adversity that come against us, and because we have the ability to bounce back to our original form and our position in Christ, do you know what? No one else can take your position in Christ. God called you. God made you. He has a plan for you. And he says, I want to work my plan in you. You know, the Apostle Paul, we know that he was shipwrecked at sea because of persistence, because of determination, and because, you know, somewhere along the way, you have to have a buoyancy, right? You have to be able, when the waves are crashing and life goes up and down, you have to have a buoyancy, and you have to hang on, even if it is a broken piece, knowing that the other side is over there, that you're going to get to the other side. You're going to get to the shore. Paul is talking about a hope in this passage of scripture. He says to us, I don't have to see it. I don't have to feel my answer, because my hope is in the faith in the word of God that we all hold dear to our heart. The word of my God through and by the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have so much more than Isaiah 11. Chapter 11, verse 1. We have so more, much more inside of us. We have the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something that moms and dads, that we have to have. Young, old, whether you're a mom or dad, male, female, there is just something that we all need in our life. And that is to be like the heroes of faith. One year I did a Mother's Hall of Fame. And I look out over the congregation today, and I see so many powerful women of God. I see mothers and grandmothers, and to be mothers someday. And God loves these women. He uses these women. They were heroes of faith. But to be a mom, a dad in this time, a man, a woman of God, this time that we're living in, we have to learn how to spring back. We have to learn how to rebound. We have to learn how to return to the original form or position after being bent. Sometimes, you know, we wonder, are we going to break because we're being bent so far? But God says, if you'll stay a hold of me and you'll understand who I am in you, then you will get through this situation. Sometimes we feel like we're stretched. Sometimes it's hard recovering readily from an illness, but when you're resilient, you will begin to push through. You will get to that place where one day you'll look around and that thing which plagued you before is no longer going to be there. Same with depression, any adversity. Buoyant. Resilient means strong, steady, and elastic. You know what? We don't get resilient overnight. It takes a long time. You've been somewhere when you've done all you know to do to stand, and the adversity has tried to strip you of believing in the almighty power of God, the creator of the universe. You've been somewhere when you've been mocked by others, and the devil tells you your prayers aren't even being answered. You're not even being heard. You're still standing, though. It doesn't matter what the accuser says. You're still standing. God is still God. And you have a hope inside of you. You know, there are different times of our life. I have my favorite times of life. I have my not so favorite times of life. Favorite times can be those that I enjoyed most. Maybe it was because they were my easiest times of life. Or favorite could be the hard times when I learned my most. When I look back. Now, when I'm going through, I can tell you which one are my favorite. If things are kind of hard, I might say, I don't really like being here. I don't like this. There are those times. But then when I've gone through and I look back, that hard time might end up being my favorite time. Because I learned something I wouldn't have learned had I not gone through some trials, some situations, some disappointments, some failures. And we all, our times of life, see, the seasons of life that I've grown the most were not the ones that I necessarily enjoyed going through. But now I can enjoy them. That's what faith will do. That's what hope will do. We'll get to the other side of it and we'll look back and say, thank you, Lord. I really wouldn't take anything for the journey of life that you've had me on. I wouldn't take anything for it, because it's through that that life changes. There are seasons of our life that we get cut down, and our branches have to be, we call that pruning, I think. They call that pruning, where they, you know, you got a lot of dead stuff on there. In fact, I have some bushes that we were sitting out yesterday. I need to prune some of those. But there's pruning times. That's not a bad thing. In those times, there is still a promise. Isaiah says, I see a stump cut down to nothing. It didn't look like there was any hope for the Israelites. They were disobedient, and they served other gods instead of God the Father. But yet God had a word for them. He was saying, it doesn't look good right now, but just wait a little while. It's going to get better. Isaiah said, I see a stump. God is up to something in your life. So don't be discouraged. God's promises. Our promise comes through a young virgin girl. Can you imagine how it was for Mary? Because she had to look people in the eye and convince them that she was carrying a child from the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine how hard that was? I can't. It had to be hard for Joseph. Can you imagine how hard it was for Joseph to believe that his betrothed wife was a virgin and she's with child? We're human beings. They were human beings. Can you believe, you know, we tried to imagine, how did they feel? How did they? But there was that hope. There was that faith that the word of the Lord would not lie to them. If we will get the faith that the word of the Lord will not lie to us, that it's true, and when he says it, we can believe it, and it will come to pass in our life. God picked a womb that presented only impossibilities so he could bring the infinite potential to our world. And when it was time for the Son of God to be born, there wasn't the most likely place for him to be born. We miss it so many times, because when God says he's going to do something in our lives, we think it's going to be easy, but it isn't. Sometimes it's hard. But don't think it's strange when situations come against us. Don't think it's strange when life has oppositions for us. It doesn't mean that we've done something wrong. Sometimes we do. We have. And if we have, we make the adjustments, right? And if not, then we just look to the hope, to the promises. We don't want to assume that God's not answering us. Remember when Moses' life got got cut down to a stump. My goodness, he was called to get the children of God out of Egypt, and here he was living on the backside of the desert, hiding out because he felt like his failure defined who he was. And God said, no, your failure does not define you. You've been back here so you'll learn to care for my sheep. You'll learn to care for that which I care about. So he gives him the mission. And I love the scripture also that comes out of Exodus where it says, out of Egypt I have called my son. It's interesting, that particular scripture is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus had to take Jesus' parents had to take him down to Egypt because Herod wanted to kill the male babies when he heard that he had been born in Bethlehem and it was a threat to his throne. So they took him down to Egypt. Out of Egypt, I have called my son. There, you know, God doesn't care where you're at. He still calls you. It may seem like you're in bondage. It may seem like you're enslaved. But he still calls us. He still has a good plan for our life. Isaiah was prophesying to a people who were under Assyrian oppression. And Jesus comes in to a world under Roman oppression. God comes into our lives in adverse situations. And, you know, this may be the best time for you mothers. It may be the very best time of your life, or it may be a hard time of your life. But God says, I can take the adverse situations of your life, and I'm going to bring deliverance to your household. I'm going to bring deliverance to you. When God picked Moses, he told him to go down to Pharaoh. He told him to go to the most powerful man in the world. And not only did he tell him to go, but he also told Moses, Pharaoh's going to tell you no. We would say, then God, why? What's the use in going? But God always has a plan. And may we be like Moses that will just listen and go ahead and do it even when God would tell us that. The people and Moses, you would think they would say that God, who had raised up Moses, thinking he was God, when God said, no, I'm just going to use you. None of you are God. None of you. I'm just going to use my servant Moses so that others can see how real I am. We wouldn't know today unless about Moses if he hadn't been resilient. We wouldn't have known about Moses if he hadn't stuck with it, if he hadn't said, okay, even though I don't understand it, even though these people are rebellious, even though sometimes I don't feel like we're winning, but he stayed faithful to the call. And I thank God that he did, because his life is for the glory of God. He is in the heroes of faith, and he didn't quit when it got hard. Our carnal nature cannot support the glory of God, but we get to come into the presence of God because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. They didn't have that. They didn't have what we have today. So I thank God that we have a better, better thing than they had because of the atonement. So we have to learn and know some things, like Mary. She knew some things because she said, at your word, Lord. Do we know some things? Do we, when God speaks or he asks something hard? But we know we heard from him. So can we say, at your word, Lord, at your word, I don't see how, and I don't know exactly when, I don't know what's next, but because of your word and because of your promise, then I'll just say yes, at your word. Remember when the Israelites went up to the Red Sea, and God could have took them around. You know, that would have been the normal way, the human way. They didn't understand and they didn't know that it was God that was bringing them out of Egypt. God was only using a man to bring them out, to lead them. But it was God that was bringing them out. It was God who heard their prayers. It was God who answered. He heard their their cries for help. They had so many miracles. How many miracles have we had in our life? And yet when it gets hard sometime, it's hard for us to remember the goodness of God. But Moses, he took them. And the Lord said, stretch out your staff, Moses. Stretch out your faith. He's telling us today, I want you to stretch out your faith. I want you to believe my word. I want you the word that I've given you. For whatever your situation is, I want you to stretch out your faith. And then he told Moses, he said, I want you to look back over your shoulder, Moses. And that enemy that has been chasing you, I took care of it. Do you know he does the same thing for you and I? That thing that seems like it's going to bring you down. He says, fear not, for I am with you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. I will be with you. I will be your help. And you will look around and that thing which has tormented you, that enemy, you will look around and you will see it no more. God has made us so many promises to us. Moses was thinking, I'm about to drown. But God says, no, I'm going to drown what was chasing you. That's a good promise for us. Gideon, remember that. He had 32,000 men, but God didn't. Isn't going to let him fight with 32,000 men. He says, uh-uh. He says, I'm going to get you down to 300 men. Because otherwise, you're going to be relying on your strength, Gideon, and your army's strength. And then you're going to say, oh, look what we did. And God says, oh, uh-uh. I'm going to cut you down. And you may feel like a stump in life. But God's going to show every one of us. He wants to show us our root system and show us that we have real hope. Jesus had to come, not to be a superhero, but in the weakness of the flesh. Aren't you glad that he did? So that you and I could see him as he is and as he was. But so that we could be strong in him and in the power of his might. Daryl, hand me that ball right there. That's Ollie's ball. Maybe. No, you can't throw.
I'll get it for you. I got it for him.
Thank you.
I won't throw it.
Thank you. Okay, take this ball and just bounce it in front of you and catch it. Yeah, just bounce it. Can you see how the bouncy ball, when you bounce it, it comes right up? It has resistance to that. That's a concrete floor underneath here. And when you hit something hard with a bouncy ball, what's it going to do? It's going to come up. You take that same ball, and you go over there, Gabe, and you try to bounce it on that seat right there and see how well it does. Bounce it once on the floor. Bounce it now on the chair. That's what resilience does. When we have the power and resilience of God, he teaches us how to bounce back. We learn how to, if we have a soft life all the time, we won't learn. If everything goes our way or it has to go our way, we think it has to go. If mama's not happy, nobody's happy thing. I mean, I believe in that up to a certain extent. But we have to learn how to be resilient, how to bounce back. That's what it was designed for. That ball was designed to bounce on hard surfaces. We have been made in the image of Christ to take the hard times of life and to be resilient, and God to still use us in the hard times. We can get along. Because when we have the ability in Christ and we know that he's our strength, then we have the ability to bounce back. Amen? God is not punishing us, but he's preparing us. He's showing us. Sometimes we feel like we've been cut down, but I tell you what, if we have been, it's for a comeback. Maybe that's why they laid Jesus in a borrowed tomb, because God had to show the world that you can put him on the rock bottom, but you can't keep him down. And I believe the men and women of God, they may get on the bottom sometimes, but God says you can't keep them down because they are resilient because of the word of God that's in their heart, the hope that they have in the word of God. We may not know exactly when, but we know that God's going to do it again. Amen? I believe that we have bouncer backs in the house today. I have hope inside of me that bounces back in every hard situation of God. The harder the bottom is, the higher the bounce. Amen? The harder the problem is, the higher the bounce that comes back because of the resilience that we have. A storm, some of you that's been out to our house, a couple years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, but we had lightning to strike one of our trees, and it cut part of it off. Well, this year, lightning struck again and finished it off. But on that same year, 2 years ago, my beautiful willow tree, well, both of them were my willow tree, but the one that's gone, it's gone. Or the other little tree. One willow was okay, but the other tree is gone. But my willow tree on this side of my driveway, this is my house at my back, my driveway this way. That willow tree was so pretty. I love that willow tree. And anyway, when the storm came in, it just damaged it bad, and it also uprooted it. So it has this real weird, it's sitting like this. And the roots are sticking out. That's right. I'm right. And it's sitting sideways. And it's really ugly over here. You can see all the roots. But the most amazing thing is that thing looks like a beautiful bush right now. And it's all going up straight, even though it's like this. So I'm trying to figure out what can we do around that, make that pretty. I don't know. But all it took was a branch. All it took was a sprout. All it took was a shoot. And now a willow tree bush is sitting at the right of my driveway. When I look out, how does that happen? And we need to be the same way. I may be cut down for a while, but I see a shoot coming up from the stump. I'm not dead yet. There's a shoot coming up from the stump. And God still is wanting to do things in our life. He has provisions when we're down to nothing. God is up to something. Isaiah said, you can see it in the roots. But see, most of the time, the roots is a part of the tree that you can't see. But that's where the action is. I'm watching the roots of my tree. It's really out there. As long as a tree stays rooted, it has the promise of new beginnings. There's enough of the root that is covered that a really beautiful green bush tree is growing. As the worship team is coming, Jesus spent the first 2 years of his life. He spent it hiding from Herod. First 2 years of his life. Those were hard years for his mom and his dad. Those were hard times. Those weren't pleasant times. Because when God brings a promise into the earth, when God brings a promise into your life, when you begin to see God doing some things that the Word of God spoke to you, maybe a prophecy was given over you, when you begin to see some promise begin to come and the Word is so alive in you, the Word, it's active, the Word is, you know, You are hanging on to what the Word of God is saying. When God brings a promise into the earth, into your life, it alerts the enemy. The enemy was alerted that Jesus had arrived on the scene. So then he began to get a plan to try to take Jesus out. It looked like a good plan, but it wasn't good enough. You can't cast away your hope. Let's don't cast it away today. It carries great reward for us. It may not, yet we can't see it. Today, we can't feel it even. But we have that promise. And see, God's not wishy-washy like we are. He doesn't take it away. His promises are still yes and amen. God's greatest work in my life was when I didn't feel it, when I didn't seal it, when I didn't see him. There's times when you're having conversation with God, and the one thing I do know, and we can mature enough in our growth, that I don't have to hear him back. I know I have an audience with him. I know he hears me because, see, according to the word of God, I have an audience with him. He hears me when I pray. And not only does he hear me, but the word of God tells me that he answers me. But he will, when he brings the answer, it will be right. It won't have any selfish anything that I might have suggested along with it. Because he's working things out for my good. Some sitting here today, you've had tragic things happen in your life. But God said there's still hope, there's still good. You can still have faith in the God of your salvation. Never lose that. No one can take that away from you. Sometimes we just have to trust God until we get healthy again. Sometimes we think, God, how are we going to make it? God, you've got the answer. I may not know how, but I know who. I may not know what, but I know who. I may not know when, but I know who. And when we know the maker, the miracle worker, when we know that, we can trust it. Because see, my hope in Jesus Christ is the anchor of my soul. And my anchor goes all the way down to the bottom. It doesn't matter how low. It doesn't matter what kind of the pit looks like. It doesn't matter how bad the storm looks. My anchor will always hold. See, I have found out that God can take what the devil meant for my bad, and God says, I'll use that for your good. That is something only God can do. How can he take something that the devil meant for bad to destroy us, to take away the call of God in our life, to take away our hope, to take away our promises? But God says, no, that's not the end of the story. Because what the enemy thought was going to bring destruction, God says, I'm going to use it. And I'm going to turn it around. And someone else is going to have hope because of the hope that you've had in God and you didn't quit. You were resilient. You didn't stop. When the adverse situations, you could have, but you didn't stop and you said, no, I'm not going to give in. Maybe sometimes you may be here today, and I just want to encourage you to let your disappointments be a doorway to a deeper hope. Things didn't turn out the way I thought they would. Let those disappointments go in deep into hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, because faith is the substance of that which we're believing God for. And if we're really believing God, then we can know that it's assured. Sometimes maybe you're here today and you said, will I ever change? Will things in my life, will they ever change? There's a shoot coming up from the stump. God wants you to take hold of that. He wants us to take hold of the word today and know wherever we're at on our journey of life, this may be your best time. It's still a good time to hang on. Hang on to the word of God. Don't let the enemy steal the word from you. What does the word of God say about your situation? What is it that you're believing God for? There's a shoot coming forth from the stump. And from the branch, fruit will be springing forth. Stand to your feet this morning. Psalm 126, 5 and 6 says this. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. You may have cried many a tear over your situation, and maybe you have wondered. But it says they weep as they go to plant their seed. You just keep planting the seed of the word over your situation. And see, your tears will not be because they're disbelief. Your tears will be because it's just referring to how your soul is feeling. But that's okay. But as they will plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. We have a harvest that is promised, and you can take the word of God and speak the word of God over every one of your situations. Don't lose your hope. It is the anchor of your soul. Don't let the enemy tell you that this is it or you're not going to make it. I know this is a different kind of message, but I really feel there are people in this house today that needed this word. I believe that God wants to speak to you to tell you it's not over, because the miracle worker is still at work. I still believe the miracle worker is still at work. You may have heard from God, but you yet haven't seen it come to pass. But God says, don't get discouraged. Don't give up. I've still got a good plan for you. Don't let it bring you down. Don't let it turn you aside. Get your eyes back on me. Don't lose your hope. Faith is the substance of the thing hoped for. What is it that God has spoken to your life? He hasn't changed his mind. You may do some changing, but God's word will not change. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word today. Thank you for this people that are in the house today. God, we thank you so much for the seed, for the stump of Jesse. We thank you, Father, that that stump, out of that came a branch, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're so grateful. We're so grateful that Isaiah said what you said. We're so grateful, oh God, that in every situation you never leave us, you never forsake us. God, and that we know that you are working things out for our good. God, if we're in a pruning time of our life, and there's some things that we need to lay aside, there's some things that we need to allow you to do the work in us, then I pray, oh God, that you will convict our hearts today. God, that we can say that our hope, our trust is in you. And that we believe what you said. We will not lose hope. We will not lose your word. We will not allow your word to not come out of our mouth. What you say about us. Thank you, my Father.